said this out loud. He goes, you know, if you're ever down here, and he named the city, come and see us. And a few months later, on a Saturday morning, someone knocked at the door, and it was this man and his family, and they said, we're here. And they actually stayed with him a few days. He said he never said that again. How many remember? Heard the knock on the door, the doorbell, and you opened the door and you were surprised who was there. Has that ever happened? Oh my goodness, and it might have been a good surprise, and it might not have been a good surprise. But I want you to know that Jesus is at the door. Four things quickly here before I read the scripture. Number one, he's at the door and he's about to enter. He's about to enter into our lives. He's about to enter into this world again. Second thing, he's about to make himself known face to face. He's about ready to usher the saints into his prepared kingdom. He's at the door. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Matthew 24 is really a chapter we should all be studying and reading. It's about his second coming. The disciples said, Lord, what's the signs of your return? Matthew 24:32, Jesus said this, because they were concerned. How are we going to know the hour or the day? We don't know the hour or the day, but we know the season. Now from the fig tree, learn her parable. When her branch is now become tender and putteth forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so also, when you shall see all these things, all the things he listed in Matthew 24, we'll talk about it, know that he is near, even at the door. Heavenly Father, help us today to grasp your word, how near Jesus is in his coming. In Jesus' name, everyone said, many signs were given in Matthew 24. We're not going to go over all of them, but we're going to go through some of these signs. Jesus went on to say this, verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation? The generation that sees all these signs shall not pass away till all of those things be accomplished. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Away. He's at the door. He's not away from the door. He's not down the hall. He's right at the door. Now, what things, what signs did Jesus tell us to prove that he's near at the door? First thing is deception would be in the world. It says this in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? First thing Jesus said, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Have you ever seen such a spirit of deception in the world? Have you ever seen how so many are deceived that you know, they don't even prepare for eternity? Why is it that people prepare for their funeral, but they don't prepare for eternity? Many people buy funeral things and they buy, you know, the plan, but do they visit the house of God to have their soul prepared? We are in a world of deception. People believe anything today. I know in the 70s we had the Jesus movement. We had flower children. But I tell you, I've never seen a wave that has hit our young people of deception like today. Yeah. But I believe God's going to turn it around for his good. He's not going to let them stay. He's not going to allow this to happen. But that's one of the biggest things. If you talk to anybody that's not a believer, they are deceived somewhere. Oh, I'm good enough. I don't need God. The devil's most powerful tool is deception. That's one sign. Second sign is wars. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. World War I, World War II, Civil War, Revolutionary War, the war's over in Russia. Billions of people have been killed in wars. Billions of people, billions, millions of young men never got to be married. Women and children killed in wars. Jesus said, you're going to hear about them. But that's not the end yet. Third sign of his coming, people will have what I call cold love. Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Oh boy. I was out the other day just sharing a card to somebody, invite the church, and the response I got, oh my. It was amazing, really, how just in a moment, anyway, no love there. No love for your fellow man. No respect. No honor. The love of many has grown cold. And I think today we have sacrificed the love of God for achievement. And people love success more than they love God. I can't love anybody with God's love if my life is consistently going into the direction of making money, and securing things. We live in a hedonistic society, which means that pleasure, we're no different than the Roman Empire. You know, if we don't look at the past, we're going to repeat the mistakes. See, we live in a place people's love has grown cold. Oh yeah, it's been cold through the ages. But never like today. That's a sign that he's at the door. Fourth thing is, and I love this one, I love all of them, I love this one. This is the greatest sign, don't ever forget it. This is the greatest sign that he's at the door. This is the greatest one. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then the end will come. Never before in the history and existence of mankind have we been able to, in a second, communicate with other nations. Never before. People say, well, they've been saying he's coming for 2,000 years. But I'm going to tell you, in the 1700s, you couldn't even send a telegraph. In the 1800s, you didn't have any internet. We didn't have internet until the 80s. But now the gospel has been going forth like never before. That's a sign, folks. He's at the door. I said he's at the door. Many parables say, listen, keep your lamps burning as one that looks for their Lord, that you don't be found asleep. The parable of the 10 virgins. Even wise virgins slumbered and slept. But they had oil. They had revelation. They were longing for the bridegroom. I encourage you to read Matthew 24 this week. But you know, Matthew is not the only place that we have signs that he's at the door. Jude had a sign. The book of Jude, verse 18. I wish Jude would have wrote more. I'm going to ask him in heaven, why don't you write more? Great when he writes. Verse 18. How then, they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. People mock the church. People mock preachers. People mock the Word of God. People say, oh, there's other ways. There's a spirit of mockery towards the kingdom of God. Jude says, the reason that they are mocking is because they're giving in to their sinful lusts. it's not just lust for sex. It's lust for power. It's lust for control. It's lust for careers and things. Nothing wrong with those things in the right element. He said in the last days, they're going to walk. That's how they're being directed. And they will mock the things of God. Mock the things of Christ. But there's something that they don't know. When he comes through the door, oh, he's going to welcome his saints. But the ones that don't know him, it's not going to be no happy day. Because many will say, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Cast out devils. Because I don't know you. You that work iniquity. So the coming of Christ, when he comes through the door, is glorious for us, but not so glorious for those who have mocked him. See, the spirit of mockery is also from the devil. They mocked Jesus. He was on the cross. They mocked him. The one thief mocked him. Oh, if you're the Son of God, that's a sign that he's at the door. I'm getting excited that he's at the door. I'm getting excited. He can open it any second. There are no more prophecies that Jesus has to fulfill. When Israel became a nation in 1948, and the Six-Day War in 1967 fulfilled prophecies about Israel, there's no more prophecies to be fulfilled. We're waiting. Maybe he's got his hand on the doorknob. Maybe it's starting to turn. See, we somehow think, and we conjure it on the screen of our imagination, that, you know, he's not going to come in our lifetime. But he is. I believe this generation is the one that's going to see Christ. I don't know how long. I don't know what day. People have said, well, he's coming December this, 1988. I don't do dates. But I do obey signs. How many of you have been traveling and there's a sign and you miss the sign and you miss the exit? Yeah. I remember in New York this one winter, I went to see my brother and he says, you know, there's a snowstorm coming. I said, yeah, well, I can make it back to Pennsylvania. And which is a wrong mistake. And I was fine for about the first half hour. And all of a sudden, and most of you have never done this. How many have ever driven in a snowstorm where you can't even see a foot in front of your car? It's like a whiteout. Has anybody ever experienced that lovely thing? It is scary, Mom. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness. I don't mind the snow, but when I can't see, and then you can't put your bright lights on because it's worse. Yeah. So somehow I missed the sign that says Binghamton, and I kept going. I was going to New York City. And it got worse. And I'm calling my wife, honey, oh my goodness, I don't know what to do. She said, well, you got to turn around. I go, oh, that's something to think about. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So I try to find this exit. And by the time I got to the exit, it was 4 and 5 inches of unplowed snow. And I was driving a car, of course, that had rear wheel drive, which is the worst, because you're trying to push a car through snow with 2,400 pounds of engine in the front. And I tell you what, I was going 5-10 miles an hour and finally got home. It's because I didn't see the sign. No one is going to be able to say, Jesus, I didn't see the sign. That's why I didn't get saved. No one's able to have an excuse on that day. Now let's take it down to us believers. We want not to be ashamed when he opens the door. We don't want to have some things that we've harbored, we haven't forgiven. Oh, I'm not talking about missing heaven. I'm just talking about going through wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, and precious stones, and silver, as Paul said we'll go through. I want to be ready. No, that doesn't mean I'm going to be totally perfect, but I want to be ready.
Yes.
And one thing I know I'm going to have is allowing God to work unconditional love in my heart for everybody.
Yes.
That there'll be no prejudice. There'll be no walls. There'll be no judgment against anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. I stand there before a holy God, His Son. I don't want the oil of God's love to be low on the dipstick.
Amen.
Because all my works and all the things I've done for God will mean nothing.
Yes.
If I'm not like Him.
Amen.
So He's at the door. Wow. Have you ever opened the door and someone had a surprise party for you? No, I haven't. But anyway, I've heard about this. He's coming back with surprises. When He opens that door, there'll be surprises for you that He's not revealed. Number one, your mansion. He said, I'm going to build it. I've been a carpenter on this earth. I'm going to build some stuff for you. You don't know what your mansion's going to look like. Well, the Lord knows what I want my mansion to look like. And I want it to be right next to the ocean in Hawaii. Amen. I don't know how far my wife's mansion is going to be away from mine. Could be next door. Could be on the other side of the New Jerusalem. But how about yours? I don't think every mansion in heaven is going to be a cookie cutter. I think God knows what you like. Because God is personal. He's going to hand you that key. Hallelujah. Then, another surprise is your vacation work assignment through eternity. You don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be either. But we're not just going to go up there and hang out in our mansion. Authority. Some will rule over 10 cities. Some 5. Some 1. Some none. That's another surprise. And as we talked about last week, talked about the marriage supper, who you're going to sit next to. It's going to be awesome. Can you imagine when we get there, God says, you know what? I want somebody. I've got somebody I want you to meet. Spend time with. Not that there's really time in heaven. But can you imagine God bringing that person in the Bible that gave you the most encouragement? Meet them face to face. Hang out with them. God has surprises when He comes through the door. I like surprises. How many like surprises? So Jude says, don't let the mockers influence you. Right. How about the book of John? How about John in the last days? 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it's the last time. Oh yeah. The spirit of Antichrist like never before in the world against our beloved Savior. But He's not discouraged. He's planning something special for His bride. Standing at the door. Waiting for the Father to look at Him, and He'll know it's time. He doesn't even know the hour, only the Father does. But while He's standing there with great anticipation, smile is upon His face. He's paid the price of the suffering servant. He's no longer the tired healer. He's no longer sitting on a well having been exhausted. Robed in glory, honor, and power. Mister, He's smiling at that door. Ma'am, He's anticipating seeing you face to face. You see, the church is basically a dress rehearsal for that moment. And we go through it Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday, And basically, the Word of God is shaping us and bringing us to the place that when we stand before Him, when He opens the door, there'll be a shout come out of you you've never heard. There'll be tears of love from your eyes. And down inside, you'll say, "My goodness, it's all true." And in a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, which is 1/100th of a second, God changes this vital body to a heavenly body. Yeah. No more medication. No more cataract surgery.
Yeah.
No more insulin.
Yeah.
No more pain pills. No more things to cause us to go to sleep, because we'll never sleep again. No more going and having the plastic surgeon wipe away a few years. It's over. The former things will be done. Eyes not seen, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared. But He's revealed some things by His Spirit, but not all things. Surprise, 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 when He comes through the door. And as each one of us walk down the long hallway to the throne, seven words we'll want to hear. Nothing else at that moment will matter. All my earthly goods and wealth and accomplishments will seem frivolous unless I hear these words. Well done. Thou good and faithful. Notice the element combination of two attributes. Good and faithful. Not only am I to be good, I'm to be faithful. Yeah. Not only am I to be faithful, I'm to be good.
Yes.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. Servant.
Yes.
A lot of times we want God just to serve us. A lot of times we want the church just to serve us. We got to mix up. Jesus said, "I'm washing your feet because I want to show you who's the greatest."
Yes.
He's a servant. Though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things He suffered. And we talk about that as physical pain, but also in one retrospect, to strip Himself of honor and glory and come into the form of a man in one way was suffering. It was the suffering of being rejected by men. You see, it's the last time, John said. He's at the door. And I love the words after He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou in to the joy." At the door. He opens the door. Come on in.
Amen.
People that have been clinically dead and the ones that's really genuine and have come back and been to heaven have seen their loved ones there. Dr. Charles, I believe it's Rawlings. I believe it's Rawlings. It might not be Charles. He was a emergency room doctor for 25 years in California, an atheist. But one night, something happened that changed his life. Brought a man in, and he had a heart attack. While they're working on him, his heart stops. They brought him back, and as soon as he came back, his eyes ablaze. "I'm in darkness." He's screaming. He died again. They brought him back. The same thing. The third time they brought him back, he looked into the doctor. "Don't you understand? I'm in heaven. was not the brain going to sleep. This guy was seeing something. He began to search. He went all around the world searching all the religions. Left his practice. Finally found Christ. He goes around the world today talking about Jesus in heaven. He's the only way, folks.
Amen.
You know, we live in a complicated society. But one thing we do not want to do in the church world and the kingdom is make the gospel complicated. I'm all for deep revelation of the word. I believe that it excites us to learn new things, but we can never get past the fact, as we close, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And as we begin to celebrate next week, Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday, you and I have an obligation to the lost. Paul said, I'm crucified with the world, and the world's crucified to me. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. Compel them to come in. Go into the highways and byways. Never forget this. When someone rejects your invitation for Christ or the house of God, it has nothing to do with your deliverance. If Jesus would allow him being rejected by men to stop him, he would have stopped. The incident I told you about is quite interesting. It showed me again that not everyone wants God. Amen. He's at the door. What I love about the Holy Spirit, as he takes the word of God, quick, living, and active, sharp than any two-edged sword. And he begins to deconstruct things and then construct things with that word. Many times, the word of God is on soil that's not producing. Even as believers, plow up your fallow ground. You and I need to continue to develop a tenderness and a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. My job will be over soon. Your ministry will be over soon. Your career will be over. All that I've done will be in books before. I'm getting excited to see him. I'm getting excited to go through that door and see my dad and mom accept Christ. I'm excited to go through the door and maybe generations of my family tree, there was preachers there that I don't even know. I'm excited to see the saints of old. Excited to look at Samson's face. Hear him talk about how merciful God was to him. I want to look at Peter's face. I love comeback. Peter went to the Super Bowl of spiritual character and got beat 100-0. Totally defeated. By his own error. But he came back the next year and won it. And God saw his comeback. Let me tell you something. God always sees your comeback. And when he came back, he allowed him to write two great epistles. And the great verse that says, whom having not seen, Would you stand with me this morning? Father God, we thank you that Jesus is at the door. Lord, we've seen the signs. Lord, I pray now for our eyes to be open. We might understand the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God. In the name of Jesus. If you're watching this morning, he's at the door. It's going to open soon. And if you want to hear, well done, your name needs to be in the book of life. The Bible says you must be born again. Going to a church won't save you. It's the atmosphere for the Word of God to come to change you. So if you're watching and you say, you know, Pastor, I need Jesus Christ. I need to come back. So just pray this little. That's right, right there in your living room. Just close your eyes. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Fill me with your Spirit. I believe you died and rose the third day. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for coming into my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember,